Globalism versus Nationalism Part 8. Judges. By Jonathan Davis. In those days there was no king in Israel, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Judges 21:25. Once again, this peace is probably threatened with being overtaken by events, such as the fast-moving pace of the political scene at present. Last time I wrote, Parliament had just been prorogued. There were lashings of Ramona tears and legal challenges to through the courts, the outcomes uncertain. Now, it isn't. The Supreme Court ruled against Boris, saying his prorogation was unlawful. So, how did we get here, and what next? Boris had prorogued Parliament for conference season plus a few extra days. Remoners as per usual threw their toys out of the pram, as apparently MPs didn't have enough time to debate Brexit. They've only had over 3 years, but what do I know? Boris' plan seemed to have been to force them to pass a no-confidence vote in him or try to trigger an election. He could then win that election with a majority, then leave on the terms he wanted, either with or without a deal. Remoner MPs then rushed to pass through a bill to stop a no-deal exit, the so-called Bend Bill. This bill stated that Boris had to ask the EU for an extension to Article 50 if there wasn't a deal in place by October 31. They also spent 2 hours eulogizing Bercow, but hey, not enough time or something. Boris' plan was to leave no matter what. He has to do this, or the Tories will suffer badly at the next election. It was put to a vote and the government was defeated. As a result, 21 Tory MPs had the whip removed. This was no bad thing. A purge of Remoner MPs was long overdue. All they will do is vote against whatever exit terms Boris proposes. They can't be trusted, and he should be rid of the lot of them. Whether he lets them back in will go a long way to showing if he just wants a rehashed version of May's withdrawal agreement. If they are let back in, then a soft exit is in the offing. To add to the fun, Amber Rudd resigned from the cabinet and the Tory party. Philip Lee joined the Lib Dems along with Sam Gyimah. Boris' brother, Joe Johnson, also quit the cabinet and as a Tory MP. So far, so good. The swamp drains itself. However, as the government was defeated in the Commons, the bill then went to the Lords. The government then had the chance to filibuster the bill, in other words to talk it out until it ran out of time. Over 100 amendments were added. The Lords were all set, some bringing packed lunches and coffee flasks for what was predicted to be a marathon session. The general consensus was that the Tory Lords would be successful, that the filibuster would work. But, and there's always a but, late on the Friday night the government caved, and the bill went through. Why? Perhaps we will never know. Rumors were that a deal had been struck with Labour to vote for an early October election, in a motion that Boris was to bring before Parliament on the Monday as part of his strategy. Unfortunately, they chose to trust the word of a Marxist. In my view, this was a horrendous tactical error. As soon as this bill passed, prorogation became meaningless. Why prorogue Parliament to stop them blocking Brexit, when you have just let them pass a bill effectively blocking Brexit? Had the bill not passed, Boris would have had real leverage on the Monday to force an election. Don't like it, Jeremy, call a vote of no confidence or an election. As it was, the £3 wonder boy could safely sit back and relax, safe in the knowledge no deal Brexit was off the table until at least the new year. Boris had said time and time again that we would leave at the end of October come what may, even saying he would rather be dead in a ditch. Corbyn knows that Boris' popularity will plummet after October if the UK is still in the EU. He then stands a chance in an election. Before, if Boris delivers Brexit, Corbyn gets destroyed by the Tories, Brexit party help or no. He had absolutely no incentive to vote for an election, nor did any of the other opposition parties. Therefore, we had wave after wave of virtue signalling. There were threats to put Boris in jail if he refused to follow the Bend Bill. That would be a great look, jailing someone for trying to leave the EU. The Remainers risk turning him into a Brexit martyr. The narrative Boris is trying to create, quite successfully, is him and the people against Parliament and the establishment. The more he is seen to try and get Brexit but be stymied by the powers that be, the more entrenched his support will become among leavers. Yet they can't see it. Meanwhile in the EU, the protests against the arch-globalist Macron continue. As I write, they have just passed the 45-week mark. One shameful incident saw a disabled man in a wheelchair first pepper-sprayed, then kicked by gendarmes. As per usual, there is no mention of this on UK mainstream media. Macron is the EU's poster boy. We can't have anything negative about him, can we? However, we can hear about Hong Kong morning, noon and night. The EU itself continues its drive to greater authoritarianism and corruption. Qualified majority voting is in, vetoes are out. The Prime Minister of Malta has been accused of allegedly bullying the family of murdered journalist, who was killed while investigating corruption at the highest level. 9 EU commissioners are having to clarify their financial dealings. The nominee for Justice Commissioner is under investigation for corruption. Yes, really. I'm so glad I voted for them. The media obsession with Boris and the smears they use also continue apace. As you know, I'm not a great Boris fan and remain highly skeptical about any deal he says he is getting. But the stuff the media hit pieces are coming out with is laughable. Call Me Dave has come out of the woodwork. Apparently Boris called him a girly swat. Calling someone a big girl's blouse is transphobic. Fascist, Nazi, literally Hitler, and it's just like 1930s Germany have once again been bandied about. What it is really like is Trump all over again. It didn't work then, it won't work now. The opposition are making all the same mistakes all over again. Flying under the radar of public notice, deliberately so as it doesn't suit the views of the establishment and their media pets, the Remain narrative of a rigged referendum has been shattered and left in pieces. The first piece fell when a court ruled the gross figure of £350 million on the bus was fair. Then Darren Grimes was acquitted of any wrongdoing. Many a tweet from many a Remainer had to be swiftly deleted. Then came the news that police had dropped their investigation into Leave EU. Now Aaron Banks has been cleared. The whole Remainer narrative of the Leave side cheating has been shredded. But you won't hear about it anytime soon. Since prorogation is no longer relevant, I don't think the Supreme Court ruling is too much to worry about. They didn't rule on Brexit. They specifically said they weren't ruling on it. Brexit is not cancelled, contrary to some people on here. There is no time for another referendum either before 31st October or any extension to January that has been established. Boris won't call one. Labour and Corbyn say they would wait until after any election. Article 50 will not be revoked. Only the Lib Dems have gone that far, achieving the feat of pissing off other Remainers. Even Corbyn isn't that mad. It hasn't got the votes. Boris won't resign, despite the shrill calls for him to do so. Corbyn won't table a no-confidence vote, or vote for an election, although pressure will mount. Stephen Kinnock was on Welsh news programmes asking for one immediately. Even if they did, the opposition are divided and fighting like rats in a sack. It would be extremely difficult for them to form an alternative government within 14 days. We are back to where we started. Boris wants Brexit but hasn't got a majority. Corbyn wants to be PM but won't call an election. At least, not yet. What has happened is that a lot of Tory cucks got purged. This may well bear fruit in the long run. The Labour Party are shambolic and haven't got a Brexit policy. The recall of Parliament has cut short their conference, meaning Remainers don't have a chance to overturn it. Labour is also at war with itself for all to see, thanks to Momentum and Tom Watson. Their conference policies will be an eye-opener to many. Once again they are focusing on all the wrong things. Private schools, free Palestine, etc. What people care about is Brexit at the moment. The Lib Dems have disappeared up their own backsides, with policies just to please ultra-remainers. The SNP are still harping on about independence, yet also don't yet dare call for an election. Have Boris and Cummings got a master plan? I doubt it. I expect a November or December election. However, I think there is a lot more to play out before then. Who knows, maybe rabbits will be pulled out of hats before the end of October. I certainly won't be giving up anytime soon. It ain't over until it's over. All this may change again in the next few days. But thanks to Gina Miller, Article 50 is law and will likely require an act of parliament to overturn. We might even challenge it in the Supreme Court. Featured image by Case Juauk from Flickr under Creative Commons license. Copyright Jonathan Davis 2019.